James chapter 4, we're just going to look at two verses tonight, this next little section. And this message is called Humble Christian Love, Humble Christian Love. To catch us up, help us understand where James is coming from in verses 11 and 12. What has been happening so far in God's Word, James, in this whole section, has been calling out fake Christians. That is, people who are in the church, but they don't know Jesus. People who aren't living out the faith. We've seen throughout this whole book, James is so concerned about people who profess and claim to have a faith, but they don't do anything. They are hearers, but they're not doers of God's Word. And what we've been seeing in the last couple sections, the end of chapter 3 and the first part of chapter 4, these people in the churches that James is writing to, what are they doing that's so bad? Why is James using strong language to call these people out almost in every sentence? Well, they are pursuing their sin. We could go back and look at some of these verses, but these are people who claim to know Jesus, but they're not fighting their sin. They're pursuing their sin. And listen, if you are pursuing your sin instead of God, that is a sign that you don't know God. Now, if you're God's child and you start to pursue sin, what's God going to do? He's going to correct you. He's going to discipline you because He is a good Father. But if you are just pursuing your sin and, you know, there's no discipline going on, you don't belong to God. And these people are in the church, they're eaten up with selfishness and jealousy. You see that back in chapter 3, verse 14. He says, if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, verse 15, this is not the wisdom that comes from God. You're not living out a real faith. What is the result in the church when you have fake Christians pursuing their sin, pursuing selfishness? What kind of church does that create? What kind of atmosphere does that create in a church? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Here's what it creates. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this? Your passions are at war within you. You fight, you quarrel, you do not have, you covet, you murder. That's what it creates. Chaos, division, fights, arguments. But real Christianity is seen in those who repent of sin, not those who pursue their sin. Amen? You're either repenting of your sin or you're pursuing your sin. You can't do both at the same time. Real Christianity is when God gets a hold of us and we repent. We see that down in verse chapter 4, verse 6. God gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Repentance is when you humble before God. This is real Christianity, when you can no longer pursue your selfishness and your sin, but instead God humbles you at His feet. He humbles you before Him and you fall down before God and you give up your life to Him. That's what happens. And in verse 7, He says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. So you're turning from the devil, you're submitting to God and His authority. You're submitting to the Word of God as the rule over your life. Amen? This is real Christianity. You're not following the devil, you're resisting the devil. You're not running from God, you're doing what in verse 8? Draw near to God. And He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. You're turning from the sin in your actions, your hands. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's repentance. When you sin in your heart, you take it to the Lord. You hate it, you turn from it. Verse 9, you're wretched and you mourn and you weep in your heart. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. You hate your sin. You're not content with sin. You're at war with your sin. You're looking to the cross where Jesus bore the weight of your sin. That's true Christianity. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. So, what James is describing is a posture of humility towards God. And what we're going to see tonight is that when we have that posture of humility before God, that will result in a posture of humility towards people. In the way we treat other people, and by the way, James is talking about in this context, how we treat people in church, other brothers and sisters. And so my question for us tonight, what kind of atmosphere are you contributing towards in the church? And what is your posture towards God and people? It's a check yourself message here, James continues to give. A mirror in God's Word. So, a posture of humility before God is seen in our posture towards others. You want to see where I'm coming from? Look back in chapter 3 again in verse 17. Here's this posture. Look at it, verse 17. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That is a posture of humility towards God, and it overflows in this gentleness and peace. That's what we're creating in the church when we walk with God. Amen? When you're not walking with God, what are you creating? What kind of atmosphere are you creating in your church body? Chaos and disorder? There are churches who have that continual chaos and disorder. Are we contributing towards that? What are we building? James wants us to check our hearts. When we are concerned about power in the church and control, and I want my way, then we don't have a posture of humility before God or people. We have a posture of selfish pride that will split and cause divisions and anger and all kinds of foolishness, anxiety. But when we surrender to God, lay that sin down, and we have that submission to Him, that humility, then we're going to approach each other in our church family with what? Peace, gentleness, love. And we will be building and helping build together an atmosphere of grace and kindness and love in the church community. And by the way, this works outside of the church too. James is just talking about in the church. You can contribute towards an atmosphere of peace in your neighborhood also, where you live, in your workplace, in your school, right? In your apartment building, on your street, wherever you are, you're contributing to some sort of atmosphere around you. Amen? But in the church, what are we building? So tonight, let's look at verses 11 and 12. James is showing us what a humble, soft, responsive heart towards God looks like in the way we speak and think about each other. Verse 11 and 12, let's read it. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, He who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you? Who are you to judge your neighbor? That's the Word of God. That is the Word of God tonight. Three quick things tonight. Number one, a humble heart does not speak evil of others. A humble heart does not speak evil of others. Again, we're talking about in the church primarily tonight because that's what James is talking about. A humble heart. What I mean by a humble heart is all that we've been talking about. A heart that is repentant. A true Christian, in other words. When you've seen the wickedness of your sin and you hate it and you turn from it. A person who's been touched by God. He's going to think twice before speaking evil of others in the church. Now, if you've not been touched by God, by the way, what I have in mind here, you remember that Old Testament story of Jacob wrestling with God, wrestling with the angel of God all night? And he would not let him go, and he's wrestling with God. And what does God do in the morning, or this angel of God do? He touches Jacob and puts his hip out of joint. And he walked with a limp from then on. That is a man who wrestled with God and his pride was broken by God. Jacob was a trickster. But after he met God, he walked with a limp. Right? And we see kind of a change in Jacob. God changed his name to Israel. What I'm talking about is, have you met God and you walk with a limp now, spiritually, because your pride has been broken? You're not perfect yet. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about a man or a woman or a child, someone who has been touched by the gospel, and your pride is broken, and you walk with a limp. You are different. A humble person, someone who has met God, does not speak evil of others. James says in verse 11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Now, Titus 3, verse 2 applies this not in the church, but to everywhere, universally. It says, Titus 3, 2, speak evil of no one. Wait a minute, Titus. Isn't there a loophole? Isn't there some person I can speak evil against? No. James, again, applies this to the church. Speak evil or do not speak evil against one another, brothers. So he has in mind the community of the church. Now, James has already warned us of the dangers of the tongue. We covered that in chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. Let me read just one verse from that. Verse 9. James 3, 9. He's talking about with our tongue, we bless our Lord and Father. And with that same tongue, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. He says that it ought not to be so. So, James has warned against our speaking sins, our speech sins. And he's written about people who make peace in the church. We just read that at the end of chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. The harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So what we're seeing is, with our speech, we can contribute towards peace in a local church family, or we can contribute towards what? Chaos and disorder and all kinds of wickedness and foolishness in the church. What are you building with your words in the church? There may be some who are hearing this message tonight. You're not building up your church, you're tearing it down with your words. And if that's you, you need to understand what God's Word, the seriousness of it, and you need to give that to the Lord and turn away from that tonight. What are we talking about? What are some examples of speaking evil? Speaking evil, that's a generic phrase. It can include all kinds of specific speech sins. Let me give you some examples. Telling lies about people in the church. Spreading rumors. If you don't know if it's true or not, don't spread it. Even if it is true, you may not need to be telling other people. Go to the person. Talk it out in love. Gossip. All kinds of sarcasm that cannot be helpful. Sometimes our sarcasm can tear down instead of building up. Negativity. Just always being negative, right? With our speech. Cursing. James said, with your mouth you bless God and you curse people. That ought not to be so. Harsh criticism. Man, that sat on me a little bit today, just thinking about that. There are people who are harsh with their criticism. What does that do for a local church family? Is that you? Are you aware that you tend to have harsh criticism coming out of your mouth? Be aware of that. Repent. Words of division. Verbal attacks against leadership in the church or others in the church. Insults. Speaking the wisdom of the world instead of spiritual wisdom. You're talking in the church and it's just a bunch of worldly foolishness. It may not be bad, but it's not spiritual. You're not building anybody up. You're just talking, flesh. Be aware of that. Arguing. Some people just love a good argument. We bring that into the church, and after a while, man, that just wears everybody down, doesn't it? Name calling. And more. I listed a whole bunch for you there. That's not an exhaustive list, is it? The question for us tonight is, with our speech, are we building community in the church, or are we tearing it down with our words? Are you adding to the gracious kindness so that, man, you walk in the gathering of the church and you can just feel the love from everybody? Are you building that? Are you contributing to that? Or are you tearing that down with your words? That's something for all of us to consider. We can contribute with our words towards an atmosphere of division, sin, chaos, anxiety, fear, discouragement, and just distraction from the mission of the gospel and the love of the church. Our words can build or our words can destroy. So this is the first question for us tonight. Do we have sinful patterns of speech in the church that need to be addressed and taken to the cross? Jesus died for our sins. Take that speaking evil of people, take it to the cross and leave it there. Repent. Before I move to the next one, let me point out one more thing. What I have been talking about is sins of commission, sins that we actively do with our speech. But you know what? It's possible also to commit sins of omission with our speech. What I mean is staying silent in the church instead of building people up. Instead of offering encouragement, I'll just sit here and never give any goodness, positivity with my mouth. Some people, the only time they speak up is negativity. And again, you know, we all have to watch this. I'm speaking to myself as well. But are we perhaps in sin because God wants us to open our mouth and praise Him? Don't be silent. Or to share a scripture with someone. Or speak a word of encouragement to someone in the church and you know they're down. You know they're going through a hard time. And you're not tearing them down, but you're not building them up either. I want to encourage you, especially people like me, you know, you're a little introverted or whatever, you know. Take that introversion to the cross and let the Spirit of God, you know, lead us and set us free. Reach out to someone and build them up. Amen? What is our speech contributing or taking away from our church family? So a humble heart does not speak evil of others. Number two, a humble heart does not try to take the place of God. Look at what James says, the second half of verse 11 and into verse 12. He says, "The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge." That's God, right? "He who is able to save and destroy." So I think here James is wanting us to see the seriousness of speaking in a not humble way, speaking evil of each other. It's serious because when we speak against each other and judge each other harshly in the church, James says what we're doing is setting ourselves against God's law. How is that? You say, well, no, I'm not speaking against God's law. I'm speaking against this person over here that I got a problem with. But what we're saying is, the law of God tells us not to do that. And so when we disregard the law of God, which, by the way, you say, well, I'm not an Old Testament Israelite. I'm not under the law. Well, you know, a lot of the law has filtered through Jesus Christ and, you know, is summed up in His royal law of love one another. You know, the law is not done away with. Right? Jesus fulfilled the law, but He also gives us strength to walk in obedience to the commands of God. Not the commands that are gone, like animal sacrifices. But loving your neighbor and not speaking evil, we're not free in Christ to hurt each other, are we? The law of God still is relevant in our lives. And so when we disregard the law of God, the commands of God, the command of Jesus to love each other, and we speak evil, we're setting ourselves up as a not a doer of God's word, but as a judge over God's word. We judge it unworthy of our obedience. We judge God's law as unworthy of our obedience. And that's a serious thing. And really what we're doing, James says, we're setting ourselves up in the place of God Himself. When we speak evil of others in the church, we are setting ourselves above them as if we are God, right? We're judging them in a harsh, you know, wrong way. And James wants to remind us tonight, there's only one judge and it ain't you. It ain't me. I think James would approve of that paraphrase, that crude paraphrase of what he's saying here. He's saying, God is God and you're not. I need that reminder every day, don't you? Who do we think we are sometimes, right? To set ourselves up and take the place of God. God is perfectly capable of doing the judging. And man, look what kind of judging James says, verse 12. There's only one lawgiver and judge. He who is able to save and to destroy. There's only one king in the church, and it ain't the preacher. It's not the elders. And it's not you. The king in the church is Jesus Christ. He has the throne of judgment. Amen? We know this. It's a reminder. So number one tonight, a humble heart does not speak evil of others. Number two, a humble heart does not take the place of God. Try to usurp the authority of God and take it upon ourselves to judge everyone. But number three, a humble heart does not judge others. So I want you to understand James is talking tonight about two different things. Speaking evil and thinking evil. That's judging. Do you see? Speech sins and thought sins in the church. And we just see this in the end of verse 12. Who are you to judge your neighbor? Who are you to judge your neighbor? That is a penetrating question. We should linger on that. Who are we to harshly criticize other people in the church and pretend that we are better than them? This reminds us tonight that we too are sinners in need of grace. Right? Never forget. Before we look down on others in the church, we want to fight and argue and put them in their place. We too need the grace of God. We too needed Jesus to die for us on the cross. We need forgiveness. How can we be proud and arrogant in the church when we are sinners ourselves? Amen? Now, let me clear something up. When we talk about don't judge people, in our day and age, we've got to explain what that means, what it doesn't mean. Some people, that's their favorite verse in the Bible, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge, and they take that out of context. And James is not telling us when he says, who are you to judge your neighbor? He's not saying that we shouldn't make judgments of any kind, right? I mean, he's saying don't be judgmental. Don't be harshly critical. It doesn't mean we can't hold each other accountable, right? It doesn't mean that we can't look at another brother in the church and we find them in sin. So we can't go to them because God said don't judge. No, the Bible teaches us to go to each other in love. That's the difference, right? It's the heart. Go to each other and say, listen, brother, I see you in sin and I'm coming to you to help you get back on the path. That's not being judgmental. That's holding each other accountable. Do you see the difference? We must go to each other with judgments. But what James and other places in the Bible, Jesus, what they're condemning is being arrogant and critical and not looking at our own sins, but just pointing at everybody else. That's what he's telling us not to do. So we must come to each other in love. That's not judging. That's biblical accountability. Judging deals with what is our posture of our heart towards our brother. So I want us to notice tonight, James is, he's not just calling us to humble speech towards each other, but to be humble in our thinking towards each other. You speak evil with your mouth, but where do you judge someone? Where does that take place? In your heart, in your mind. Do you see tonight that God is calling us to not think poorly of each other? Some of us may be thinking, okay, I'm a quiet person, so I'm pretty good at not speaking evil at each other because I don't do a lot of speaking at all. If you're a quiet person, you know, you might say, well, I'm good on that one. But then this one gets us. Because you may be quiet, but in your mind and in your heart, you're going to town on that person, right? You've got a sword and you're hacking them to pieces. And you're looking at every flaw. And so the Word of God tonight, there's no loopholes, is there? He's calling us in the church to not just build each other up with our words, but to think rightly about each other. God will not let us hate each other in the church. You see, God is not just satisfied when we hate each other, but we're zipping our lips, biting our tongues. That's not a Christ-like church. Man, they all hate themselves, but they're keeping it to themselves, so they're good. No, God goes all the way down to the heart. His gaze penetrates down to the way we think about each other. James, man, he is straightening out the church tonight. Are you receiving it? God wants you to speak humbly of each other, and he wants you to think humbly of each other. This is God's Word. Now, commentators think that James has Leviticus 19 in his mind while he's writing this. Because he's using some of the words and phrases throughout this section. So I want us to close by going to Leviticus 19. And I want to show you what may be in the back of James's mind when he tells us not to speak evil of each other and not to judge each other in the church. So Leviticus 19, and just three verses here, verses 16 through 18. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and find that. It's real good to practice turning in your Bible. But I've got it here. I'm going to read it for us. Leviticus 19. This is God's law for Israel. And again, this still applies through Jesus today for Christians in the church. He says in Leviticus 19:16, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people." So right there we see, okay, James, he says you don't speak evil of each other. God said, "Don't go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor." Don't oppose them. "I am the Lord," he says. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. Oh, man. See, hypocrites can put on a show of holiness, but their heart is evil. God's law will not let us be a hypocrite. God sees our hearts. God doesn't just want us to be in church pretending like we like each other. God actually commands us to love each other in the church. You say, well, I don't love these people. Okay, you've got a problem with God. How can God command me to love people? I may not feel that love. Okay, but love is not a feeling, only a feeling in the Bible. Love is action. Love is how you set your heart towards people. And so, here in the Bible, let's continue to read here. I need to just read it. Amen. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor. Look at that. You shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. What does that mean, reason frankly with your neighbor? It means talk it out. Work it out with him. If church members would put that into practice, so much drama and foolishness would be taken care of. Just go to that person and work it out. Amen? Sounds a lot like Matthew 18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge. That's right. God will not let you hold a grudge in the church against the sons of your own people. But, and here's the most famous law in the Bible, the second most famous. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. God's law for Israel called them to be a community of humble love and humble speech. Do you see that God's word touches both the heart and the mouth and overflows in our actions toward each other? Christ has echoed these commands for the church today. So this is our aim. This is our goal in a local church community. All right? Slander is prohibited in the church, speaking evil, as well as acting against each other. But it all starts with hate being forbidden and the command to love. Reason with each other, work it out. No vengeance, no grudges, but forgiveness and love. Our thoughts and our speech and our actions toward each other should boil down to loving each other as we love ourselves. What does it mean, love your neighbor as you love yourself? That's not a command to love yourself. It only assumes that we do. It means that we are to show the same level of concern towards one another that we show towards ourselves and our family members at home. Let me say that again. What does it mean, love your neighbor as you love yourself? It means to use the same standard, the same measure of care and affection and concern towards others that you use towards yourself and your family members at home. And all of these commands are to be done. Why? Because I am the Lord, God says. Yes, sir. Now, we're in Jonah on Sunday mornings right now. We're learning you don't argue with God. Run away from God. God is... the church belongs to Jesus, and so He gets to tell us how to live in the church. Are you receiving this tonight? Humble speech and humble thinking towards each other in the church. Which one do you need to repent of tonight? Well, I'm guilty of the speech. Or you might say, I'm good with the speech tonight, but I'm guilty of the thinking. Or you might say, I've blown both of them. We all need the grace of Christ each day, don't we? Now, I told you that we were concluding in Leviticus, but I do want to show you one last verse and we're done. The Apostle Peter, he kind of summarized this whole thing. So I just want to read this in 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. Just one book to the right of James. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. I'm going to read this. I want you to listen for speech and heart stuff, all right? Speech and heart, how we speak to each other, how we think about each other. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. You see that? A tender heart and a humble mind. A tender heart and a humble mind. That's what James is getting at. Resist the devil, he'll flee. Draw near to God. Humble yourself. Submit to God. What we're talking about is a responsive heart to God, a softened heart, a humble heart, a posture of humility to God and to each other. That is what we want in the church. Verse 9, 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Guys, we all fall short of this standard. We sin with our hearts. We sin with our speech. We sin with our actions. But here's the good news tonight. We started this live stream tonight by singing, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Tonight, if you have been found guilty by the Word of God, run to the cross and fall down on your knees before Jesus. See once again that Jesus has taken on Himself your sins of your heart, your sins of your speech, your sins of action. Amen? Christ took it on Himself at the cross. He died there and took the punishment from God that was ours so that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. Look to the cross again. Be forgiven, be washed, and be empowered to go build your church up instead of tearing it down. We know that no church will perfectly meet this standard before Jesus comes back, but God's true churches will grow in our experience of this more and more. And one day when Jesus returns, His church will shine like the sun in the kingdom of God forever. We will be a perfect church one day. That's the direction we're heading in. So let's repent tonight. Let's put away our sins and our harsh criticism of each other and our silent judging of each other. And let us love because God has loved us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. It's like a searchlight on our souls. It exposes our sins, Father. We thank You for that because You are sanctifying us. You point out our flaws because You love us and You want us to turn away from destructive things. Father, we thank You tonight that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. We thank You that Your love is on us. Even while we were sinning and hating You, You gave Your Son for us. Tonight, Lord, here we are as Your people. And Father, we want to make sure that we are building up Your church instead of tearing it down. We pray that our hearts would be united in Your love, God. Give us unity. I pray that for this church, God. And I pray it for all of the the churches in our city and all the church, the home churches of anyone who's watching this tonight. God, that we would contribute towards peace in our church family and not use our tongues to sow seeds of division. Give us tender hearts and humble minds. Give us kindness. Take away our harsh criticism of each other. And let us think the best of each other in Christ. Help us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do that in us, we pray, for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.